We gather together on Sundays, and we worship God together. Some of us meet on a weekday night to have supper together. Some of us get together to study the Bible together. Some of our gatherings are spontaneous, so I love bumping into you on the way to work. And I know I've bumped into many of you. I've bumped into Steve at the coffee shop. We were both in the same coffee shop, same time on a wet morning, I remember. When we live, most of us live within a walkable range, or we work within a walkable range. So we bump into each other, and that's really awesome. Maybe some of you bump into each other at school, too. And I know for sure that some of you, oh, I can hear my voice booming now. I know some of you meet up at the pub in front of the dartboard. Now, before Christmas, Simon and I, my son Simon, and I rarly mention my family, so this is a one-off for 2017. Simon, I get to spend my coupon. Simon and I went to Helena and Benita's house for tea. We took the Posada figures over to them before Christmas, and we had tea, and we talked, and we prayed together. And if you don't know this, Helena and Benita moved to Canada from a faraway place over a year ago. So Canada is a new place for them. They are newcomers to Canada. And we talked about how we mark Christmas, how we mark Christmas and New Year's. And I was really interested to hear how they marked New Year's and Christmas in the churches that they have come from, that they use, they call home churches. They told me that New Year's Eve, and Alina and Benita, wave if I'm wrong, but they told me that New Year's Eve particularly is a big service where people come to gather. There's lots of music, there's dancing, and neighbors would come. Neighbors who wouldn't usually come to church with them would come for New Year's Eve to mark the new year together. And it'd be a very happy celebration time. And when we were talking about this, we talked about a New Year practice that we had both heard about that involved prayer. And Alina said to me that one of her pastors had done a certain thing in terms of prayer for the new year, and I had told her that I had heard about this practice as well from a colleague of mine, and so we were sharing about this. So I thought it would be a great thing for us to do today to try and practice a little bit, adopt a little bit from Alina and Benita's experience of their church community from where they're from originally. And, of course, they're from here now. They're part of our family here now. So in a while, we're going to use this time, I'm going to make space anyway, to use this time to pray about the year ahead. It's going to be a little bit different to how we usually pray, and it's not going to, we'll still have our intercessions, so that's wonderful. But we will have some time set aside to pray particularly. I'm not going to tell you all about what we're going to do. But just to suffice it to say, for those of you who are like me, who like to hear and dwell and then respond, because that's me, I don't like to respond immediately. I like to think and consider and then come back. So we will, and I will give you more details in a little bit, but we're going to reflect a little bit and we're going to look ahead a little bit. Okay. We're going to use cards, and we're going to write some things on cards, and you'll have the opportunity either to put that card in your back pocket and carry it around all year, or we have an offering box at the front, and I'll tell you more about that later. But here we are at the cusp of a new year, and our life stories continue to be written. Even though it's New Year's, our life stories don't stop. But our prayers will mark a moment in the year and in our life stories. And perhaps in these prayers, we will have the opportunity to name the ordinary and name the extraordinary. And my hope for us all is that our prayers acknowledge that God has his hand in and on our lives. I'm going to crack open a Bible, and I'd like you to do the same. So Luke 2. So if you use your phone, an app on your phone, awesome. Luke 2. Now, I confessed at the earlier service that I was in my early 30s when I realized that the gospel stories are all a little bit different. Until I was in my early 30s, I thought they kind of basically told the same story. And they do tell the story about the birth and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But each gospel writer has different emphases and themes and styles. Just as if I told a story, things would be really important to me. And if Sharon told the same story, it would come out a little bit different because different things are important to her. And the Spirit moves us in different ways as well. So with Luke, we get this beautiful opening about the announcement that Jesus will be born, and Mary's response, Zechariah's response, the birth, the shepherds, and boom, here we are on our reading today, when the time came for the purification rites to be undertaken on the eighth day of the life of Jesus. So, and that's where we find ourselves with Luke today. So Luke doesn't talk about the exile of the Holy Family to Egypt, doesn't talk about the massacre of the innocents, but that's told by others, but not by Luke. But so here we are, that's where we find ourselves. I am drawn in this reading this morning that we have to the fact that we have a mixture of ordinary and extraordinary. If we look at it together, so we read this morning, we read from verses 22 to 40. You can find it on page 946. But there's some very ordinary things that have happened here. So a baby boy has been born. That's not something that special. The baby has been given a name. I think we all get given a name eventually. He's been circumcised. Many of you have been circumcised. Parents bring him to the temple to be presented because that's what you did. And Mary has arrived to undergo a purification process. She's following the law carefully with Joseph. Now, these might be not all ordinary things for us, but in the story, you can see that they're pretty, they're not unexpected, are they? But for Mary and Joseph, they were following God's law, and they were raising Jesus within God's purposes. And I think here, it's not so much as what they do as why they do it. I think it's because they're raising Jesus within God's purposes. And they do all of this because they support God's aims. And although he does nothing, Jesus is actually the center of this part of Luke's telling. It's all about Jesus. We don't hear him waving a banner or preaching a sermon at 8 days old. But God is at work through this ordinary life of Jesus. So we have some ordinary things. But there is also extraordinary. And God is at work in that too. Having heard this reading this morning, and I read it so wonderfully, so it all like lodged so neatly. I'm being self-deprecating there. But so we've heard this reading from Luke 2. What are some of the extraordinary things that you have heard? There's prophecy. Say a little bit more, please. Exactly. So Simeon is given a promise by God. Hold on, man. Wait. You will see the Messiah. You will not die before you see the Messiah. That is extraordinary. That is an extraordinary promise. Absolutely. Sarah. Yes. Yes. That's right. So you might see a foreshadowing there of what is to come. Yeah, that's extraordinary. Thank you. Debbie. Yes. So we have these two folks in the temple who recognize this baby for who he really is. It is extraordinary. What about the fact that we have these two very elderly people? Is this extraordinary? I think it is pretty extraordinary. Two people who have lived exceedingly faithfully. We hear that Anna, I love Anna. You hear so little of Anna. But Anna has lived in the temple and fasted and prayed for year after year after year after year. And she's waiting to see the Messiah. How extraordinary is that, to wait on a promise for a lifetime? That is extraordinary. And I think it reminds us of the importance of people with longevity in our communities who can show us that, of a life lived in faithful expectation and hope. We have two elderly people in Simeon and Anna, faithful, persevering, fasting, with their eyes on God and waiting their whole lives, expecting God to act. Here's another extraordinary thing. So I don't know the ins and outs. I have never studied the temple in great detail, but I know that it was a mammoth building with lots of rooms and courts and inner sanctums. Isn't it pretty extraordinary that Simeon, who's been around for his lifetime, just happens to be there when Mary and Joseph show up? Like, there would have been loads of priests, presumably, like, running around the temple, and Simeon is the one that's there to gather the baby into his arms. Isn't it awesome, too, that Anna equally has been there a lifetime, and she just happens to arrive at the same time, called, I think, by the Holy Spirit. I mean, the scripture is pretty clear. It's very clear that Simeon has the Spirit, a Holy Spirit on him, and he's being guided by the Spirit. But I think that is extraordinary. I think it's also extraordinary that you have a little baby. We've already touched on this a little bit. Verse 34. A baby who will cause the fall and rising of many in Israel. So you have an eight-day-old baby. And some of us will have seen or held an eight-day-old baby, small and tender and pretty powerless, able to let out a good yelp. But how could a baby cause the fall and rising of many in Israel? Already that's heralding something extraordinary. And as we continue to read what Simeon said that day, he says that the little baby will have his soul pierced, and Mary's soul will be pierced too. Again, this is telling us something extraordinary that will happen, that has not yet happened. But God gives the Holy Spirit to Simeon so he can speak this truth into the life of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. What I want to say here, what I want you to go away with, is that God is at work in the extraordinary, filling Simeon and Anna with the Holy Spirit to do what they need to do. And clearly he's been at work in extraordinary ways in the lives of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. So too is God in our own lives at work in mixtures of extraordinary and ordinary. God is in it all. And Jesus redeems it all. And so we pray. We pray in confidence. We pray in boldness. So, over to you now. Let's turn my page back. So we're going to use this time, as we finish my preaching portion, we're going to use this time to pray about the year ahead. And it's going to be a little bit different the way we usually pray. Sean and I are going to hand out some